Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and we will listen to some music till someone else comes online. Hallelujah. Take us deep, O God, where our feet may fail, but our faith will stand in you and we will be made stronger. We thank you for joining us, Words for the Word, this morning. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and we'll start our Friday Fellowship of Learners with our promise scripture and our scripture of one another. Does anyone would like to start us off today with your promise scripture, the scripture you need in order to surrender to the Lord as he transforms our heart? You're live, you're on the air. Good morning. Amen. I will start today. My scripture for one another is out of Hebrews 3 and 13. And this is what I want to always be at the forefront of my mind as I interact daily with those that God will bring across my path. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Be encouraged, and be an encouragement to one another with the truth of God, so that it also reminds our brother, but as well as ourselves, so that sin does not deceive us. And we then fall into rebuke and reproach. And then for the promise, it says in Ezekiel 36 and 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So God has promised to do it, and I will trust him, and my faith will be built and faith to walk on water as I trust him to give me a clean heart, a new heart, a new spirit within me. Anybody else want to share their scriptures this morning?
Good morning, Overseer. I actually have a question.
Sure.
When you're saying like our scripture, are you expecting like a different scripture every week, or I'm
no.
not quite. I mean,
no,
like when you're saying whatever.
Go ahead.
No, you were saying it doesn't have to be a different scripture every week, or it can be a different scripture.
It's entirely up to you. Remember, it tells us at the end of one of, I think, the third chapter, and it gives us a formula, if you will, for it says one of the best ways to change your heart is to memorize and meditate on God's word until it is planted deep in our inner being. And so this is what we're desiring to do. Pick a scripture and use that scripture daily. Meditate on it. Memorize it. Repeat it and actually recite it, declare it throughout the day so that we are surrendering our process to God. We're acknowledging that it's him that it is doing what we need done. And so this is the purpose of the scripture of a promise for God to bring us into this new transformed heart, as well as a scripture for one another. Well, this is part of the reason he is doing this, the reason he is giving us this formula, if you will, for going forth under the transformation of the heart.
Okay. Amen. I mean, it gives me a little clarity. I just wasn't quite sure. Thank you.
Oh, sure. No problem at all. No problem at all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My scripture this morning is, let me go back to it. Psalms 121, 7 and 8. And it says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And what I got out of that was that he's watching over me, protecting, he's got that head to protection. He's covering, he's keeping me in covered in his presence. So also my ministry, member of one another, is the love for one another, as, you know, just love one another.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Minister, for sharing today. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we'll dive right into our lesson, finally coming to the conclusion of the fourth chapter, but just in review and looking at what we've been taught coming to this point as we're understanding the functions of the heart is to regulate the flow of life, and it is a gatekeeper for our lives. It facilitates intimate relationship with God and our brothers and sisters. It generates belief and trust in God, and it commits to God and to other people. That is the function of our heart. And when our hearts are not functioning properly, then we are in a state of transformation, because as our scriptures are showing us, God has promised to do this. And so when it is not functioning as it should, excuse me, God has some things in place. He has his word, and this author has penned, he's brought a lot of it, and he condensed it in one place so that we can look at it. And so he starts by giving us an indication of what our heart, what we should be doing with our heart. And we pulled out some key words. We are to keep our hearts. We got that in the very beginning of the book when the author shares the scripture that he starts to minister out of to us, because the heart is the issue of our life. And he comes out of Proverbs 4 and 23 when he says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issue of life. And other versions may say, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And then there's a version that says, watch over your heart. So we're told to keep our heart, to watch over our heart, to guard our heart. Because remember, the heart is the gate of your, it is the gateway, gatekeeper of our lives, our heart. Excuse me. And so as a result, we need to guard it. You know, you set a guard at a gate when you have some treasures in that gate. And so that lets us know, or within, beyond the gate, are your treasures, which is where your heart is. And so then we realize it tells us to hide his word in our heart. In hiding his word in our heart, we are valuing and treasuring what God has said, which is why we are going to keep our heart and to watch over it and to guard it. We're also told to evaluate our heart, you know, to give what's in your heart value. And he says that where your treasures are, there your heart will be as well. So when you're looking in the elements of your heart, and those things are going to be manifest through your thinking, your emotion, and your will, because that's your soul. Remember, our heart is our spirit man. It is where our innermost being lies. It was first corrupt through Adam. We were conceived in sin, and we were shaped in iniquity. That shaping came about as the influence of that Adam old nature started to corrupt our thinking, our emotions, and our will. And they, in effect, affected our body, our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we say, what we feel, became subject to the corruptness of our souls, our spirits, with the old nature. But in Christ, we are a new nature. And in Christ, it's a new man. We have the power, no longer of the old Adam influencing us, but the power of the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, the perfected one whose blood covers us, cleanses us, and empowers us to then be above all things obedient. And so as we guard our hearts, evaluate our hearts, watch over our hearts, hide his word in our hearts, and keep our hearts true to that word, we monitor what flows from our hearts. That is our transmitter. It's going to transmit what is truly there. So there may be areas of our lives that have been surrendered to the Lord, but there may be areas of hardness, which is where we get to in this chapter. One of the things that the author shares with us is that there are the hard heart, a hardened heart, a heart that has become callous, a heart that has become destitute of spiritual perception. In other words, there is a lack of a lack of understanding spiritually what we should be doing, what we should be saying, and understanding that the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is giving us a new soul, a new way of thinking, a new way of responding to life, a new way of our emotions, a new desire. So now he wants you to desire those things that are God's kingdom, those things that are elements of the kingdom of God, and are quite contrary to the elements of the old nature. And so as we look at this condition of a heart that needs to be circumcised, that needs to be recovered, the author shares with us that there are 11 signs. And, well, first, 6 causes and 11 signs. So this is how we monitor our heart. This is how we monitor our heart, by examining what flows from us. And what flows from us comes in our mouth, in our speaking, and these are the things that our body does and our soul values. And so some of the causes of having this heart, this area that is not surrendered to God, is not under the rule of God, but rather on that particular part of our lives, it is callous to the law, the rule, and the love of Christ. And some of the things that causes this is repeatedly committing a sin, doing it so often, so many times, that we then become insensitive to the Holy Spirit as he brings correction. And so we become numb to it. They gave the example of a person that plays a guitar. The fingers at first are very tender from strumming it, but after continuous, repeated use, then that those fingers become numb, and they're able to use their fingers without even feeling anything. And that's that repeated sin, and that's what happens in the areas of our hearts that become hardened, holding on to an offense. So when we are not forgiving, when we fail to surrender our own emotions to God for him to heal it, for him to have the new nature, the nature of Christ that's in our innermost being, that's in our spirit, when we don't allow, it to affect our emotion and our will and our thinking, then we're still allowing the residue of the influence of the old nature to rule and reign in that area. And so we hold on to offenses, and we do not surrender and forgive. We have to forgive. And harboring emotional wounds, being wounded, being valid a response to an abusive word or situation or event, and having that just remain open and not allowing one of the virtues of the inner man, that's the new creature, that's Christ, and one of the virtues is his healing, and not allowing that healing to progress in that area. So we have this emotional wound that we want to harbor. Actually, we guard it against healing, and we come up with all kinds of excuses why we shouldn't, and what was done to us, and we hold on to that. And then disobeying the voice of God, clearly knowing he said to do one thing and choosing to do something else repeatedly. Disobeying the voice of God because it's not in line with what we want. Again, that want that's in that soul that is still being influenced by the old man and not receiving the power and the influence of the new, of Christ, of the new nature. And then God, lawlessness. When the laws just don't work, we don't want them to work. We want what we want the way we want it. And we see that growing even the more all around us because people want what they want. They don't care about others and the effects on others. They are lawless. And that is seen in many circumstances, even in our churches, when we don't want to obey leadership. We think leadership should do it this way or they should do it that, or we don't understand why we have to do that and not do this. That's lawlessness. That is no longer submitting to the authority that have been placed over us. And so, again, that is not properly processing the word of God, either a lack of having it or of knowing the word of God and choosing to decide that your way really is better than God's way, and that becomes lawlessness. So a sign of this condition in your heart can be seen in what we do. We don't feel the presence of God. Again, that's that body, that outward, that senses. We don't allow faith to flow. And instead of walking by faith, we start wishful thinking and trying to do it ourselves, but faith is not flowing. And remember, we're told to nurture a strong faith. And so not just being satisfied with the faith you have, but always, always being, as the song say in Oceans, always being available to him to call you out into the deep and trusting him. Moving from commitment, we often start out very committed, and then we end up, I wish this would happen and I wish that would happen. That is not a matter of commitment, but that's us in deciding that whatever the process is God has, we're not satisfied with it, because now we wish for this and we wish for that. And this is in our thinking. Remember, that's in our soul, still being influenced by the old nature and not the new. Rebelling against God, knowing that there are things that he has required and we choose not to do it. We either choose to not do it by thinking or deciding that it is not expedient, or surely he doesn't want me to do that, or God doesn't work that way. We decide to then be the judge of the actions of God, and then choosing to not be in harmony and flow with them. We start justifying our wrong. Well, I do this because, and I do that because, or it really isn't that bad, or blaming other people for it, or resisting correction or communication. A lot of the times we decide to just separate ourselves in certain areas from people so that that way we don't have to interact with them. And if we don't interact with them, like my scripture is, you interact to keep you and them on the right path. And so to separate yourself and resist anybody that reaches out and you don't want to hear it. And so a lot of times you're not a part of a lot of things because you just don't want to hear what other people might pour into you. And then to seek its own interest. When you only care about how it's going to affect me without giving thought or sensitivity to what it's going to do to others. You become emotionally cold and bitter when you realize you're not responding to things that should bring compassion from you. These are all signs of a hardened heart. When you start to enjoy sin, and when I saw that, I was like, oh, enjoy sin, wow. Okay, and then he gave me examples of how we enjoy sin. So if we know we're not supposed to eat potato chips, okay, and we know we're not, so for us it's a sin to do it, because when you know better, okay, then you're responsible for that. So when there are certain things going on and you're being instructed by doctors as well as Holy Spirit to not do something, but to do it and enjoy it, that's enjoying sin. And that's giving sin a stronger foothold in you because it is now satisfying your flesh. So now you're not in love, but you're in flesh with yourself. And then that kind of heart cannot worship God, and it will withhold those things that belong to God from God. The author shares about tithes and offerings. So these are all indications. These are all signs we should look for that come from our soul as it is manifested in our bodies through our speech and through our what we look for, what we say, what we hear. There's sometimes you just don't even want to hear it. You know, one of the things of the little young man here, when I'm sharing something about him, he, oh, Grandma, I don't want to hear it. You know, his ears do not want to hear the truth. And reject it, you know, and it is our and my definitely duty to do it anyhow. But that's when you realize that there's an area that is becoming hardened that God says, and you know, it does. However, there is a remedy for it. And so then we get to the dangers and the consequences of maintaining a hardened heart. So even though we may have one, and we realize that it is throughout the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, there is this wonderful if my people, you know, if you turn from your ways, if you repent, there's this wonderful if, and that if comes to us through the power of Jesus Christ. And so if we do that, the calamities and the consequences, the dangers can be either avoided or overcome and forgiven, because we have this wonderful if. And that's one of the things that the chapter ends up with under the danger of and consequences of maintaining a hardened heart. And that's the key, maintaining it. It takes a lot of work to maintain it. It takes a lot of work to be out of harmony with God. I mean, it takes a lot of struggle. That's why life becomes hard, because we're working too hard to stay out of harmony with God. And when we surrender and commit to Him and what He has promised to do for us, then He says, as Christ says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so that then becomes the word that we meditate on. It becomes the word that we memorize. It becomes the word we use to attack the conditions of a hardened heart. That's the word we use to dismantle the cause of a hardened heart, is the word of God. And so all of those things that are remaining in power are there because we don't believe, we do not have faith that God will make all things work to the good of those who love Him. And this word that He has, that He gives us, to give us the strength of faith, so that as we believe and trust, and remember that has to come from your heart. It comes from believing first Christ, that He died and that He rose again, that His death frees you from sin and from the powers of it, that what was crucified was your flesh. It is on the cross, and He is sitting on the throne of your heart. And if there's an area that has not surrendered to His lordship, you be a traitor to that area and turn it over to Him, okay? Expose it, excuse me, present it to Him, surrender it to Him. And so some of the dangers is falling, a fall into calamity. Happy is the man who is always reverent. That means honoring God. Yes. Yes. Hello? Okay. And it says, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. We can say that the person whose heart has lost its spiritual sensitivity is moving towards disaster, because disobedience and spiritual error will guide his decisions, and his end will be spiritual death. But if he does not repent and turn back to God, and there is no way for someone whose heart has long been hardened to please God nor to walk with God. And we have to remember that. We have to decide, what am I going to value the most? And it says all we see in these individuals that may appear to be holy, but if they're not, if they have a hardened heart, God is not walking with them. It's a smokescreen. It's false piety, like the scribes and the Pharisees. And sooner or later, they will fall into evil. As the scribes and Pharisees, let's remember that they started hypocritically, but they ended up as murderers. And so that's the fall into calamity. And then brokenness, and sometimes the brokenness that's without remedy, because we have rebelled and we have refused the counsel of God. And once we refuse the counsel of God, there's a brokenness that cannot be repaired. And as long as we refuse it. But if we repent and recommit to Him, He can transform our heart and save us from evil, brokenness, and a loss of condition. And a lost condition. He will save us. There's always that awesome if. And then the removal from the presence and the power of God. So often we're in a season, a dry season, and we, you know, don't feel the presence of God. And I don't believe that's what the author is sharing here. But this is when we have practiced and we have repeatedly harbored and disobeyed and hold on to grudges, And then His presence, even though it's over our life for a time, it starts to wane. It starts to lessen. It starts to be further and further from us. And this is one of those indications that we can say, well, stop. This is a sign of what this is. And then we go and we repent. But if the condition continues, His presence is lifted and His power will cease to operate through you. And this is an example of this is Samson and the fact that he failed to respect the calling God had given him. And he had to respect it in every way. He had to reverence that calling. But he chose flesh and to satisfy flesh. And because of that, he awakened at one point. He thought he was going to do something. God's presence wasn't there. And then he became subject to that which was trying to destroy him. And it says the ultimate, talking about calamity, it happened. He lost the gift God had given him. He became a captive to his enemies, captured him. They put his eyes out. They mocked him, humiliated him. And finally, when God did restore his strength, because he did repent, then in destroying his enemies and honoring God, he also lost his life. And so that is one of the things that when we harbor it, when we hold on to unforgiveness, when we are disobedient repeatedly, when we are lawless, these things will bring us to a disastrous end. And then a seared conscience, holding on to sin. To have a seared conscience means to come into a state of indifference to sin as a result of continuous, willful transgression against God's command. Transgression. Those are the sins of our soul when we continue in the iniquity of the influence of the old nature. And so we begin to do those things that are against the word of God so much, against that it becomes callous, it becomes insensitive and indifferent. And a person with a seared conscience, he can sin and not have a remorseful heart at all. He's become callous. He's turned his back on the Lord without any remorse. That's a scary place to be in. It is essential to understand that searing is a process. No one has experienced a genuine encounter with Christ and can deny him suddenly. So this is a process begins when a person starts committing a sin in a certain area or after having been hurt by someone. He continues to hold on to this bitter feeling without releasing his hurts to God and forgiving. Yes, and forgiving that party. If someone wants to share, just jump right in. Okay. Again, we have this gift. But if you repent, okay, God says he is faithful to forgive. And he has promised to then pour his love in that area and give you a heart of flesh. Flesh being a soft heart, a compassionate heart, one that's in harmony with Him. And so here's the time. Yeah.
Question for you.
Yeah.
When, you know, okay, so I was just looking at the part where it was talking about the searing and the calluses and all of those
mm-hmm.
things. When it's a situation where, I mean, I don't know whether I'm kind of on the fence on whether this would really be sin or not. Just say you just disagree. But you're doing what you disagree with, you know what I mean? In submission
yeah.
to, you know, if this is the way we're doing it, you know, we're doing the, you know, playground fund or, you know, whatever, that you're doing whatever
mm-hmm.
is being asked of you, but you don't necessarily agree that this might be the most, the best thing, you know, at this time for the ministry, but that's not your decision to make. So
there you go.
Do you consider, no, I'm just saying, do you consider that sinful? Because if you comply.
Okay.
No, I was just saying, I'm just not sure, like, okay, is that sin? Is that,
okay.
I don't know, because you're really doing it.
Well, you know what? But I believe that this is, these are those ways that the enemy slides in. And again, we have to use the whole word. We have to remember, first of all, to respect them to have the rule over you, okay? Everything is, and as you step on each step of the Word of God, it leads you to a path. And so the Scripture also tells us that God will correct leaders. It also tells us to pray because the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It also tells us to seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. So as we start applying the word of God to our thinking, so my thinking is this is not appropriate for the ministry now. Okay, so my first
okay.
thought is, Lord, Holy Spirit, are you telling me this, or is this my own understanding? Is it that they've gotten a vision? I'm not aware of a vision, nor am I aware of a faith for that kind of vision because I'm not over it, because God has placed this person over it. So if
mm-hmm.
I can't walk in harmony, you know, without agreeing, then we can't walk together. So are you telling me I should leave and go somewhere else? So then it becomes our path. This is how we guard and monitor and evaluate and keep and surrender and commit, you know, and hide and to watch. And so as we do these things, our action, our body, and then our soul will start responding to Christ. So then we go to, well, what would, you know, that thing, what would Jesus do? Okay. And again, it is when you don't understand these things, don't take somebody to court. You know, that's, you know, the word of God. It tells you to, you know, pray for your enemy. So if they're enemy because they are against something that you think should be one way and it isn't, then you pray for them. Okay, so there's so much we can do. Are we placed in that situation to correct the situation? Then we have to make sure that we are doing it in line with Holy Spirit. And He is willing. Just, He said, ask. If you don't know, ask. If you need wisdom,
mm-hmm.
ask me. I'll get it. So all of this, I think as we process our thinking through His truth, all of His truth, He will then give us the heart we should have, the compassion we
okay.
should have, the direction we should have. And so we
That's
want
not the
to
answer I wanted, but okay.
But if we repeat it, do it, and say it, then we're telling Him we don't like the process you have me in. If you have me here and they're working on the building fund, I don't see it, but you know what? It's not my vision. First of all, am I supposed to see it? Or what am I supposed
mm-hmm.
to do? I'm supposed to obey. I'm supposed to follow, you know, yada, yada. I'm supposed to study, you know, show myself. to all of these things. When I get through doing everything I'm supposed to do, I ain't even got time to worry whether or not you're doing the right thing, honestly, because I will be doing, and that's why I think the body works together. So instead of having friction, you are stimulated into bringing the word of God alive in that situation and whatever it is. And that's what our task is. Always have the word of God living out in you, you know, in harmony, okay, with where he's placed you in the season that you're in. So I think that a lot of things that we would like to not think, well, you know, that's not a sin, you know, but is it the root of a sin? It is, does it have typical of self in there? You know, do you think more highly of yourself than you should? You know, because you think you have the way. Well, he'll give you that project, and you can have your way in that project, okay? So,
but
yeah,
this ain't your project, right?
There you go. There you go. And then, you know, you have to be, we have to really be honest with ourselves. Did God tell you to be a part of that? You know, we shouldn't do something just because, but we should, you know, walk by faith. God, is this, you know, is this the direction? He said he will, you know, guide our feet and guide our feet. Be a light unto our path.
Light unto our feet.
Yeah.
And a light unto our path.
Right. And so as we do all of these types of, what do I want to call it? Evaluations, if you will, in our spirit, as we bring everything to the light and to the throne. Here, God, what is this? What is this supposed to look like? Is this where it's supposed to be? Well, is this feeling okay with you? Or, you know, that's how we're supposed to live, moment by moment.
By moment. Okay.
By moment. Amen. Amen. And then not by sight, but by faith. You know, so sometimes we can strengthen someone else's resolve and bring forth their vision just by having faith, not in them, but in the God that's in them. You know, so obviously if they say we're going up here and rip up the flowers here and plant it over here so our house is right, that's sin. No, I'm not a part of that. Okay. So, but there are some things that as we allow Holy Spirit to examine our motives and our attitudes. And that was another one of the points of knowing what's going on is our motive and our attitude. It also asks us if we recognize in ourselves any of these sins of a hardened heart, you know, that all we have to do is pray. I love the prayers that the book shares with us. And then this part of it, for anybody else have any comments or questions? So I wanted to, the condition of your heart, he asked some very important questions. So what is the condition of your heart today? Could it be that you no longer feel the presence of God, so that you have fallen into the mere formality of religion and faith has stopped flowing in you? When faith stops flowing, that's a scary place. It says, do you observe others closely for the purpose of finding a reason to judge them? And thereby, you really judging your situation and say, see, I know it's wrong, but look, they doing this and da-da-da-da-da. Have you gone back on your commitment to God and to his people so that you no longer serve them? You may work with them, but you do not serve them. Is there rebellion in your inner man causing you to lose yourself off from others, close yourself off from others, and refuse to recognize God's delegated authority in your life? God delegates the authority in your life to those around you that he places you under under their leadership. Do you find your heart centered on the desires of the sinful nature so that you have begun to enjoy activities and practices that offend God, like I'm not going to church today because I just, you know, well, they're not going to do nothing, or hey, it's Mother's Day, why should I go? Okay. Do you recognize an area in your life that is not responsive to God's love, will, or authority? So in other words, when there are things that should people do things that we should, you know, love covers a multitude of sin. Do you find yourself not covering the sin, but rather exposing it, pointing it out, and judging it? And that's not God's will, nor is that the authority that we should be responding to. The authority that he's given us is to war in heavenly places through prayer, okay? Do you find it hard to offer heartfelt worship and generous offerings to the Lord? So those are some really, penetrating questions that we need to ask in order to monitor. You know, so we're looking at the effects looking at what we look like, you know, getting an x-ray, really. These questions are like having an x-ray of our heart and the condition. And again, he says if you got a problem, then just all you got to do is recognize it and pray to God. And you decide to place yourself in his hands and that you will allow him to operate in your heart to transform it through his Holy Spirit. So his Holy Spirit is the answer and the only one that can change our heart and heart. There's just so much in this chapter. He also explains and shares those that have gone through experiences and what happened after having gone to the brink, I'll say, of a hardened heart and then being snatched back through the power of Holy Spirit. And he says the experience is like being reborn, like breathing again after being underwater for a long time. I think that's such a blessing when you feel so free when we do recognize and shake it out of our lives. We lose many material things, you may lose them. He said, but the hand of God will help to keep us strong as it polishes our hearts. I like that. You know, so you may, you know, change your old ways and as a result, you may lose some things physically or materially. Your job, you may have had to confess something, you end up losing your job and things are hard, you can't pay your bills, but you're walking in the newness of the freedom and the influence of the new nature. And it's like you can breathe again, even though everything around you may be falling apart. But as you stand and praise and worship, as he said, it is strong, keeps you strong, and it is polishing your heart, it's shining up that callous part, and it has massaged, it has come to life. A new blood is flowing through it. The blood of Christ has healed it, and it's become sensitive to the will and to the love of God. And you are like a new person. And you equip us, teaching us to fight through prayer, to live by faith, and to stand on his word, and to seek his face and wait on him. I think that's the most powerful statement in this book. He restores us. He equips us by teaching us to fight through prayer, to live by faith, and to stand on his word, and to seek his faith and wait on him. And he will give us the desire of our heart. And I know the book says, you know, he'll give back to you, you know, what you're lost. No, I think what he gives back to us, a stuff we never had, and we had no idea of the value of them, and we didn't seek them. But once we do that, that which he gives us are treasures that will be in our heart that we will truly guard. He says, so there is a cure for a person who has a hardened heart. Again, we got that if he will surrender to God and give up his ego, yield his intellect and his reason to God, and allow God to transform him. If your heart has become hardened, you are not lost, but God can make a road in the wilderness and river in the desert, of your hardened heart. And so we get that encouragement of what God will do. He will circumcise our heart. And so we see that this circumcision is removing the influence of the old nature from us. And one of the ways we know that this removal will happen, said the word of God is what? Strong and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. Okay? So that's that circumcision, dividing asunder anything.
Amen.
That is the influence of the old nature. That's the power. Yes.
Yes, that's the power. And this chapter was just phenomenal in how, you know, you see yourself, that old self, and then even things that God still is transforming and that hardened heart, and it gives you the power to, first of all, to know, but that weight of that, the release of the weight on you, you know, when you can praise Him and worship Him in the fullness of joy because you let go of that hardened heart, of that unforgiveness, of that anger, of that frustration, and just said, Lord, I can't change anyone. I can only change myself. So allow me to work, allow me, you to work in me and change me. And that chapter, like you said, it's a relief of a burden and that heavy, you know, heaviness that when you let that weight go, you feel, I can't say like an eagle flying, but you feel free, you know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it was just a powerful, you got to read it over again and over again. Every time you read it, you see something different. Even if you hear it from the PDF, you hear something different. So to God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. And we have here with this process, we must be fully aware of the heart circumcision. It has to be maintained. Because when a person stops seeking God's presence and His transformation, that individual will become stagnant and begin to backslide. He will start a reverse journey towards engaging in old habits and justifying his sin rather than repenting of his sin and giving up to God. And so when our heart is circumcised, we renounce our trust in fallen human nature and begin to trust totally in divine grace. That's that grip of grace. And then true repentance is the path to healing. It is the path to healing is to repent. Again, it says, what is repentance? It is a complete change of heart and mind that leads to a change in behavior. There you see the body, mind, and soul. The complete change of heart, that's your spirit, your mind, that's where your soul is, and a change in behavior, that is your body. So we keep seeing this trifold nature of man and how it is going to produce in us what is in our heart, in the innermost being. It says repentance also indicates our decision not to rule ourselves any longer, but to be ruled by God according to His will and His word. When you turn from your sins and wrong attitudes, that's what we have to do. You allow your heart to soften toward the Lord. Without repentance, your faith will be void. The areas in our heart is hardened are those in which we resist God and His truth. And so we see that the only one who can circumcise your heart is not you. It is the Holy Spirit. He knows you. He has the power and the love to circumcise you without hurting you. I love that. Remember, everything He does is to build us and to make us like Him. He says, if, you know, we pray, experience true repentance, allows Holy Spirit to circumcise your heart from wrong mindset. That's a soul takeover. A soul takeover by the Spirit, which is holy in us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so throughout the remainder of the chapter, we are shared with the fact that we need to open our hearts and surrender. Open surrender. That's the, you know, open and yield. Absolute surrender. All our books are just coming together in this book, which lets us know we've been on the right path to a transformed heart. And so there are benefits of this transformed heart. It restores the innocence to you. I think that is such a powerful thing. We don't realize, and that innocence is like that of a child and a child's love. And he said you have to be like one of these little ones in order to enter the kingdom of God. We have to be childlike. It increases our sensitivity to the presence of God, which means that everywhere we go, we will bring the power of God with us because we're sensitive to his presence. It increases our ability to receive what you need from God and what he wants to give you. So it is a win-win position. It maintains a continuous flow of life that God has in us. Because when that stops flowing, that hardened heart, just like if you got a hardened artery, and if that blood doesn't flow through there, then something is going to go real wrong, and it won't be good life and living. Amen? And then it makes the spiritual realm more real and tangible, and the more we decrease and he increases, then the more the spiritual realm will take over and influence the influences of the earth. So that's the seven mountains. So we need that spiritual realm to be real and tangible in us so that we can then go and take over these mountains to give them back to the kingdom of God. And because our heart, it causes our heart to surrender quickly to Christ, and so that's that burden is easy, burden is light, the yoke is easy, burden is light. Causes you to no longer resist the process of transformation, but rather to submit to it, knowing that it will bring you closer to your Heavenly Father. And remember, we are saved so that we can, I'm going to say go to heaven, but to restore the fellowship that we had with the Creator in the Garden of Eden, that perfect environment, that perfect relationship with not just each other, but with those, the animals, with nature, with the earth, with the grass. It says the earth is moaning and groaning for the sons and daughters of man to stand up and reclaim its perfection. And so we have this awesome prayer that you can pray and read out loud. I encourage you to read out loud on page 91. Heavenly Father, I come to your presence, praising and worshiping your name. I present myself before you on the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ alone. I recognize that there are areas in my heart that have been hardened, but I wholeheartedly and ask you to forgive me. I repent of allowing past hurts and failures to usurp your lordship over me, for allowing my heart to be hardened by sin, offenses, emotional wounds, disobedience, rebellion, wickedness. Lord, forgive me for repeatedly disobeying your voice and for not giving you your rightful place in all areas of my life. Right now, I ask you to circumcise my heart, to remove the callous that prevents me from feeling, perceiving, and discerning the spiritual world and the need I have of you. Please restore my innocence so that I can believe in you with the trust of a child and be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Father, fill me with your power and presence. Even now, transform my heart in the name of Jesus Christ. So we do. We thank God. We praise him. We worship him. And we encourage you to read that out loud and be, what it says, transformed from a gangster character into one of a sanctified man or woman of God. That's what we want. We don't want to be that renowned gangster that do the things we want to do the way we want to do them, when we want to do them, how we want to do them. That only is for the sovereign God of glory, who is our Father and who have given us his Son. And so if there's any comments or insights, questions, stuff like that. Okay. Yep. We will continue now with chapter 5, Healing for an Offended Heart. So we've done a hardened heart. Now we're going to look at the healing for an offended heart. And all of these things will transform our heart into God's heart, which is our desire and our prayer. So, supernatural transformation. That's it for today's lesson. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit and enjoy your worship. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
God bless. Thank you.
Yeah.